Bonjour, je suis une pomme de terre. It's Arc Weekend, baby. What a weekend we've got for you. Newmarket, Ascot, and Redcar on the Saturday as well. 20 odd listed slash group races in the UK, Ireland, and over in France on the flat. And that's not even mentioning the grade of races over the sticks, just before a few of you come in the chat and go, what about the jumps? But hey, it is Arc Weekend, and we have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of horses to sift through to try and find a winner or three. But who will win the big one? Is box one good for Mini Hawk? Will we see any other horses drawn wide who come out with mysterious ailments? Who knows what's going to happen? Will the Japanese get a Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe in the bag after years and years of trying? Can Andre Farb get his name back on the roster with two well-drawn in-form candidates? You tell me, or we'll tell you actually, but tell us what you fancy in the chat because we are live and interactive. But it's not only that, of course, we've also got Group 1 action over at Newmarket. We've got a cracking card at Ascot in typically back-end soft Ascot ground. Look, we're not going to preview it, but I just feel a bit sorry for the two-year-old trophy at Redcar and the Straight Mile Championship. It's a fantastic day up at Redcar, and it does get a little bit lost in the mix. But Longchamp on Saturday, of course, as well. But over the years, the best races have, of course, migrated to the Sunday, and that's how it should be. We've got the Abbey, we've got the Foray, we've got the Opera, we've got all sorts. Look, there's enough to give you a headache, but hopefully we can provide some aspirin and, like I said, a winner or three as we go through. And I'm delighted to say that I'm joined in the studio by two pundits as well for the first time since probably about halfway through Glorious Goodwood. And practicing his French. Clearly didn't do any lessons at school. It's Robbie Wilders. Mm.
I did. I'm quite well versed in Spanish, though, Ross.
Are you?
So if we were previewing a race in Marbella, I'd have been all right. I don't think there are any, as far as I'm aware.
There's no. I don't think there's any high class Spanish racing we're going to be doing. But you were obviously you were one of the first people to start back in Equiano's offspring, weren't you? So you know you're
indeed.
You're a big Spanish racing.
It's a niche reference. If ever I've seen one.
Very niche reference. However, what a weekend, mate.
Yeah, just sweet looking forward to it, mate. To be honest, plenty going on. I was looking at my tracker, and I must have had 40 horses in there running Saturday and Sunday.
Yep.
I mean, the tracker does need a clean-out between us.
Fair.
But, yeah, there's lots to look forward to. I will be thoroughly enjoying everything. And, looking forward most of all, obviously, to the big one.
Yeah, that is the two-year-old
which is
trophy.
The Arc, other two-year-old trophy, as you allude to.
Yeah, it is the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe. Big field on... Well, I mean, who knows? I'm not going to get into the ground thing just yet because it feels like that's going to be the order of the week.
We've got time to do that later. Draw, all that stuff.
All that stuff, yeah. So, all right. We're also joined by Mr. Paul Keighley back in the studio with myself and Mr. Wilders for... Yeah, look, I mean, if Robbie's tracker is full up, your horses are backed or unlucky. Or I put that up in the column and there must be... Hundreds.
Yeah, if I had a tracker, there'd be millions in it, wouldn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't bother. Yeah, it has to stay up there.
Yeah.
But fantastic race, isn't it? Don't know where to start. Only problem is I'm at a wedding tomorrow afternoon, thanks to the wonderful Nick Barnes, one of our top production men. He's getting married tomorrow. We haven't had the stewards' inquiry, is why he's doing it on the day before the Arc. But there you go.
So he could have at least got married in Paris, right?
Well, I'm going to be sitting at the back with my phone.
Yeah, just make sure you mute it. I think
who's on your table, Agent Parky?
Oh, no idea. Parky's going.
Parky'll be there at about. Tom Park, friend of the show, obviously.
Yeah. Well, like I said, next year maybe we'll all go to Paris and I don't know if you're gonna get married at Arc Weekend, at least do it.
Yeah.
At least do it in Paris. That's the order of the day. Hello to Destiny Sounds, to Richard Coleman, to Tommy Daniels, to Patrick, to PM Race, to Prometheus, and to everyone else as well. Prometheus says he's surprised that Keels can speak French because he struggles so much with English. He says, as I can't speak it.
That's mean.
That is a bit mean.
That is a bit mean, isn't it? I mean, he's right. I can't speak a word of French, but there you go.
Tommy Daniel says magnifique. That's about as far as we're going, isn't it? But the only problem, Keels, is slightly these weekends. It does get to a point where I've looked at so many horses and so many races that it's almost like a computer shutting down because there's too many tabs open. It does get to a point where I almost don't want to back anything because there's just too much going on.
You've got to pick and choose your battles, haven't you?
Yeah.
Simple as that. Like, you can't back everything, can you?
No. What What's the, apart from the big races, is there a sneaky little race that you're looking forward to this weekend, or a horse or anything like that? Either of you? Have you put anything up in the column in any of the...
Well, Rick has a weekend in the column, and we're very much seeing from the same imsheet a lot of our anti-post selections.
All right, okay.
So, I mean, the thing I'm looking forward to most runs in the Sun Chariot, which we're about to talk about.
I had a look at the two-year-old trophy, actually, and I thought Argentine Tango had the form to be favourite, and isn't.
Yeah. Isn't she running off about 6 stone as well?
Yeah, exactly. She's got, you know, she's the third highest rated horse in the race, and she's getting 15 and 13 pounds from the only two that are higher than her. Yeah. I'm getting weight off virtually everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I thought she was a fair price. I don't, because the ground's probably going to be soft up there by tomorrow, so I don't know what she'd be like on that. But that was one that interested me away from the main fair.
All right, lovely stuff. Right, well, we'll get into the main races very shortly indeed, but we're going to look at Newmarket, Ascot and Longchamp and any other business as well. So let us know what you think about the weekend's action in the chat. We'll get stuck in after this. All right, let's get stuck in and starting off with some choice races from Saturday. And like I said, the problem is that it is those type of days where we're going to be looking at the weather forecast before we go to bed, then waking up and seeing which horses are actually left for lining up, because... I mean, Dundalk's been abandoned tonight, so it must be pretty stormy out there. There's going to be a bit of rain on the horizon over at Newmarket, so I'd be surprised if it's good to firm. It's going to be pretty soft, obviously, over at Ascot as well. But Longchamp, again, who knows? But luckily, we do have the Saturday card to give us a bit of a guide there. But Newmarket's feature of the weekend is, of course, the Group 1 Sun Chariot Stakes for the fillies and mares. And Cinderella's Dream is 2-1 favourite here. Fallen Angel is 9-4. Lady of Spain 5-1, Blue Bolt 7-1, Atsilla is 12s, Cathedral 20s with Cheshire Dancer, and Sakara Sands is at 25-1. You've also got Sparks Fly, who's hoping for rain to fall, and Spiritual, who is a bit in and out, but on her best could at least sneak into the frame at a big price. But a bit of an autumn treat at Newmarket, and rather surprising then that this is Charlie Appleby's first runner in the race.
No.
Charlie Appleby's
crazy.
Never had a runner in the Sun Chariot. Bearing in mind,
he
seems to have a runner in every single group or list of race at Newmarket, full stop, whether it's fillies, mares, older horses, whatever. But for some reason, we haven't even had a Godolphin. Sahibin Soror's last runner was in 2017, I think, in the Sun Chariot.
Yeah, he's only got about 10 runners now.
Yeah, exactly.
The Appleby one, that's shocking.
It's strange.
He would have had plenty of Falmouth ones, probably.
Yes, yeah. And to be fair, maybe they... Once you get towards the autumn, you've probably got a lot more options to go.
Yeah,
you might be saving it for America or going over to France or whatever it is. But it still surprised me a little bit.
He doesn't really have loads of sort of heavy ground, soft ground horses. I don't know. I'm waffling.
No, but that's maybe a good point. Maybe by this time of year, the horses he would run in this aren't going here. They're being put away or they're going elsewhere.
Yeah, he's obviously got an unbelievable record overseas, hasn't he?
Yeah.
But interesting race. We know where we stand with a lot of these. Cinderella's Dream, Fallen Angel. They kind of set a level that is not insurmountable to me. The Fallen Angel on 116 RPR. Producer Sam, run the graphic, please. Right, I've got something to show you now. It's a little graphic.
He says not yet.
Not yet. Come on. All right, I'm going to waffle on anyway.
You waffle on it. Is this actually happening? Have you actually got a graphic?
I've lined up a graphic, mate. You're getting insight that will be in tomorrow's newspaper right now.
Amazing.
When the geezer unleashes it. But I've been excited to bat Lady of Spain for this race for a long time, right? Almost backed her at 10-1 a couple of months ago for this, after she won the Atalanta Stakes. Not a couple of months ago, but a month ago.
Yeah.
But I was concerned she might run in the pre-Lopra.
Yep.
She isn't. She's turned up here. She's got a fascinating profile. Run the graphic, Sam.
He's still struggling with the graphic. I'm not entirely sure this graphic exists. Right,
let's talk about this race for an hour and it might come up.
Yeah. Does anyone...
Well, Lady of Spain.
Have you got any highlighters and a pad of paper? We can draw the graphic up.
So what I'm saying is...
What's going to be on the graphic, Robbie? Describe it to us.
I'm going to spell it out to you. Four different fillies on very different trajectories.
Yeah.
Okay? Cinderella's Dream and Fallen Angel are kind of stagnating, straight line.
They've plateaued.
Whereas you've got the Atalanta 1-2, Blue Bolt and Lady of Spain that are zooming upwards.
Yeah.
And they're almost at that level. After only 5 starts, after careers that have taken a while, they've been late developers.
Yeah.
And I'm really sweet on that Atalanta form. Time is very good. Pulled well clear of a fair Group 3 field, I thought. And the fact that it's Lady of Spain's first run on turf after a long layoff, it's got to bode well for me.
It was really impressive, wasn't it? I mean, she is a four-year-old, but she's similar to this other horse, Santorini Star, who's running over in France, has a similarish profile in the sense that she's a four-year-old, but she's not really, because she's only really won once at the back end of a two-year-old career.
She's a three-and-a-half-year-old.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah.
If you see what I'm saying.
So there's lots to come from Lady of Spain. Did you know that the Atalanta Stakes has thrown up the winner in 2021, 22 and 24? Oh,
I think you'll find I do know that, mate, because I wrote the preview earlier. Yeah, but it's lovely. It's nice to inform the readers. I wasn't going to say that, but you have, viewers, sorry.
There you go.
And I just think that if she improves half a stone, she'll get to a level that the big two can't get to.
Yeah.
And I think there's every chance that might happen.
All right, Lady of Spain then, 5-1. We're not going to talk about the race, but possibly I thought Cajole will have a chance at the first at Ascot, so maybe the old related double of the same form line.
Well, we do like a related double in this studio.
We do like a related double in the studio. Lady of Spain then, 5-1 for Roger Varian and Ray Dawson. It's weird, isn't it, Kills? Because the market loves an unbeaten horse in races of this nature. But Lady of Spain keeps going off.
Yeah, I mean, I think last time she'd had a massive layoff and she'd never run on turf, and she was running on soft turf as well, wasn't she?
Yeah,
you know, and it's one of those where you thought, well, if she is really good, she can win it, but you've got no idea, and nobody seemed to want her back her last time. But you know, I was talking to a mate of mine earlier on, and he's absolutely adamant that Blue Bolt should have won the race, and I keep watching it back, and I think she won it with a bit in hand myself.
Yeah,
like, you know, right. So. It's different, yeah. So I like Lady of Spain as well. Yeah, she's just going forwards, isn't she? She's going to have to be streetwise, but she looked streetwise enough then, didn't she? She ran in a straight line when she hit the front. But you know, there's going to be really gusty winds there tomorrow.
Yeah.
Wide open Newmarket, isn't it? You're going to be buffeted around all over the place. But I do like her.
There's not that much strength in depth in this race, is there?
No, not massively, no. But, you know, they do set a reasonable level, but it's not a brilliant level, as Robbie said, Fallen Angel and Cinderella's Dream. I always think Fallen Angel is better with plenty of cut in the ground. And although it's a gone good, I don't see it being any worse than good to soft there. And
I think that will help, because if it was going to be good to firm, I'd be completely against it. And it would, if it's fast ground, I'm against Fallen Angel, and I think Cinderella's Dream is going to give Lady Spain a chance.
Yeah,
but because of the rain's forecast, I think it's going to go completely the other way.
Yeah.
So I think Fallen Angel will probably go faff.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be that. I don't think it's going to be deep ground though.
No, but you just want the juice taken out of it.
Yeah, juice out of it. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So Lady of Spain. Like, I do think Fallen Angel's the one to beat, and I think she will go favourite. I think she deserves to be favourite.
Mm.
She just keeps doing it. Her one sort of bad run at this level was in the Guineas, so you kind of think back to Newmarket, but it was that Guineas where they went off an insane gallop, and she was one of the ones on the speed.
Sure, and she's a better filly now, I think you'd have to say.
Yes,
I mean, her record in Group 1s speaks for herself, really. She's won 4 out of 8 of them. I think she's won 4 out of 5 against her own sex over a mile as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's all there. I just think she's not a world beater, but she might not have to be. So I completely get where you're coming from.
No, if she does what she does last time, she'll probably just
go close. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, but poor Lady of Spain, sorry for the man who speaks Spanish. Lady of Spain, I adore you, says Tommy Daniels, having a little bit of a sing-song. Blair Sim says, Fallen Angel's been campaigned properly, wait till the end of the season when the ground's on the slower side. And Borat says, Market got it right, Bookie's got it right. I think Lady of Spain is interesting though, but no bet for me. I don't think it's a bad, I think it's actually quite a good race to bet in, because I think it's so top heavy. There's not that many I'm expecting to raise their game and get involved here, to be fair. So, right, that's the Sun Chariot Stakes then. Will Lady of Spain continue her winning run for Roger Varian, who is also having a good end to the season? Let's move on then, shall we, over to Ascot, where we go for the Benngough Stakes. 6 furlongs the distance, but it's going to be on the soft side, and this race has a history of going to a horse who certainly has proven stamina over further. To be fair, there's quite a few of them in there. Prince of India is one of them, 9-2. El Monjet, 5-1. Apollo 1 is 11-2. Anaf 7s. Quinault 7s. Celandine 11s. Runboy Run 12s. Jabara 14s. Lulu's Gift, Noriko, Alpha Kellenic, Tiger Bay, Tuco Salamanca possibly, although he ran today, and Colour Zane are also in the mix here for the Benngough Stakes. And Prince of India, keep saying about sprinters moving up from handicap company to group company. This horse looked a group horse at Newmarket. He then followed up in the Shergar Cup, and I wouldn't say unlucky necessarily at York last time out, Keels, but the track, Elman Joe was a York specialist. It was his first run at the course, Prince of India. and he does like them to come back to him a little bit, and it didn't happen. So he's a fascinating contender.
Yeah, that's it. He's the one I've liked all week for exactly the same those reasons. I think he'll turn it around with Elman Jed, who was the clear favourite at the start of the week, because Elman Jed has now won his last three at York, and he hasn't been quite so effective all the time elsewhere. And Prince of India, he wants that stiff 6 furlongs, doesn't he? And he absolutely roared home from, got a terrible ride in the Shergar Cup, still won.
Yeah.
And won well. So, it's funny. The trainer says, I wouldn't want the ground to get extremely soft, but after we won a big handicap at Newmarket, he said he could do with a bit of cutting the ground. So, I mean, it's hedging your bets a little bit there, isn't it? But, I like him. If stall 11's the right place to be, you never do know. I don't think they're going to go anywhere near the stand side.
Well, I think the key thing for him is he's Quinault is drawn 10.
Yeah, oh, there's lots of pace on his side, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, you say lots of pace. I thought Quinault was a danger here, primarily because there's not that much who's going to obviously take him on. And I think in these kind of races, like I said, I like a horse who stays further because it's a stiff test. He stays further, handles the ground, course form. Quinault ticks all those boxes. Yeah. Stuart Williams is having the season of all seasons. He's having his best season.
I thought Apollo 1 was the danger myself because he won it last year and he's back to form in the Portland.
Yeah, which has thrown the last two winners of Portland again from that handicap to group company angle. Yeah, Apollo 1, I mean, he's 7 years old, but that's, in sprinting terms.
Nothing, is it?
It's nothing. He's peaking, if anything. So Apollo 1, then, is 11 to 2 shot, but Prince of India at far up for Keels. And you've got an anti-post ticket.
Yeah, I backed Prince of India, but I also like Anaf, who's the sort of horse I think is going to pop up in this race. Mm-hmm. Like I know he don't win often, but he's been running better races than this. He ran pretty well in the City of York Stakes, I thought, and he was just drawn out of things in the Sprint Cup. You can draw a line through that. And the Stewards Cup the time before, he got completely no run up the standside rail. And then there was that Chip Chase Stakes behind Diligent Harry, where he ran an absolute stormer because Diligent Harry completely stole that race from the front. He was the only one to get anywhere near him. Like, he is a good horse on his day. He won this 2 seasons ago. He's the kind of horse I could see popping up. But it is pretty open.
It is pretty open, yeah. Prince of India 9-2, is that a...
That's perfectly fair. I mean, I thought 6-1 was value at the start of the week. I still think 9-2 is a bit of value, to be honest.
I'm concerned about the ground in the sense of if it was... I don't know. It's the stiff finish. It's the horses in here who are proven over further. It's the combination of the whole thing that would really...
He looks like he'll get 7 furlongs like easily, though, I think.
Yeah. It's just weird, isn't it, Ascot, that when the softer it gets, almost the harder it is to go...
Okay, yeah.
Come from the back sometimes. Yeah. But he's clearly a very progressive horse. Mm. I don't think there was that much in here I was overly worried about at bigger prices. Would that be fair?
Not really. I think the market's got it about right. Prince of India should be favourite, but I do fear Anaf most.
All right. I think Quinault's got a chance here, guys. I really do. It's soft ground, 6 furlong form. I think it's third, first against Stuart Williams is in remarkable form. He had another winner dot up in grade last night at Chelmsford. Crowdquake just keeps running absolute blinders. He's just a proper soft ground horse, isn't he?
Yeah, he's definitely got a charm. Won't put you off either. It's an interesting race, to be fair.
Yeah, but you are with Prince of India.
I'm with Anaf now at those prices.
All right, okay, fair enough. As for the chat, what have we got? So let's have a look. Nothing. No one fancies anything. You don't fancy anything? Apollo 1 is the danger, says Borat. You don't fancy anything at home on the chat? Nothing in the Bengal Stakes? Nothing at all? All right, fair enough. 9-2 Prince of India then for the 3 o'clock at Ascot. Big feel for the 3:35 up next, the Challenge Stakes here. The Challenge Cup, over 7 furlongs, Bigfield Heritage Handicap, and again, plenty of Ascot horses in Ascot form. Native Warrior 9-2, Hickory 6-1, Great Acclaim 15-2, Two Tribes 10-1, Acadian Thunder and Rami are 10-1 as well, Mirabeau 11s, Balmacara 11s, and then bigger the rest, and again, a lot of old favourites and a lot of old enemies in here. Acadian Thunder being the main one. If he wins again, he is a painful horse to follow, Robbie, but that goes for quite a few of these.
Oh yeah, I was on him in the Woking. I think we both were, weren't we, that day?
Yeah, I mean, he's again, remarkably, since I backed him at this track a month ago, he's running 3 races since, which is is madness.
Keep him busy.
Just keeping him busy, keeping him going. He's a 10-1 shot, but the progressive one is Native Warrior, who just keeps on going through the ranks.
Yeah, he does. I mean, there's a lot to like apart from his price, 92 and 18 run of fields. I'm looking for a bit more juice on that, ideally.
Yeah.
I was quite glad to see price-wise tip Hickory, the Jamie Osborne first string, because that means the second string's been overlooked. And I think Tarkan's very interested in this race. He did well last time at Newbury, second in a good race at Newbury. He sat close to a pretty hot pace that day, and the other two in the bunched finish were second last and last, mm-hmm. about 2.5 furlongs out, and he just kept digging in. He's £2 well in on that effort. He was a group horse in Germany. He was third in a German group two less than a year ago, and just loads of form in the mud. I think Osborne's been waiting for the weather to turn, and he looks like the kind of horse that is going to take out something decent in the autumn to me. So yeah, Tarkan I think is very interesting.
And you're happy to see Hickory tip because you think that takes
because
the
because I kind of thought like Siegel might tip Tarkan.
Yeah.
And yeah, because it's taking the spotlight essentially away from Tarkan, who to me is big value at 16s.
I'm pretty sure that Tom tips Hickory every time he runs at Ascot.
Yeah, so true.
He is becoming one of his favourites.
He's an interesting horse, Hickory, obviously, but I think the juice has kind of gone there. And I think Tarkan is for sure on a better mark out of those two.
Yeah. He is, however, Hickory, since joining these connections, is absolutely bombproof at the track, Keels, will love the ground and beat Fondo Blanco, who mullered a half decent field next time out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you can make a case for plenty here, can't you? I like a second string myself as well, but not from your yard. Balmakara, Eve Johnson Horton.
Okay.
I was staggered he was still 20-1 when the decks came out, when the final decks were made, because he was entered in a listed race at Redcar, which is why I assumed that he was 20s and 25s. But he's tumbled now, but he's officially the best handicapped horse in the race by a long way. £7 well in on that second to Cicero's Gift in listed company at Sandown last time, when he had three horses rated well over 100 behind him on bad weight terms. And you know, he went off at 8-1 for last year's Cabature off a £5 higher mark than he's on now. Mm-hmm. I know he didn't fare particularly well at it, but he wants soft ground. He's two from three, I think, at 7 furlongs on soft ground. It's been a while since he ran over it. He did run a stinker here 2 starts ago. He did back him here 2 starts ago, and he was never going at all. They had no explanation for it, so if he hasn't taken to the track, that might worry him a little bit, but he was isolated. He ended up on his own down the centre.
Yeah, it's not ideal.
Not ideal. Now he's, you know, he was drawn low then, he's drawn one now, but this is the time of year when they narrow the course, and that gives him a rail to run on if he wants to. And it's also the last 4 winners, two of them have come from trap 2, one of them from trap 6. You know, it's the time of the year where they start to shun that stands rail anyway.
Yeah.
So he could actually be in the right place this time. My worry is if he goes hard, right, there is a fierce wind that's going to be right in their faces, and that's the only thing, because it's the remnants of the Storm Amy or whatever it is, and it's going to be very windy tomorrow, and it's going to be right in their faces, so that worries you a little bit. But he's incredibly well handicapped.
He is, yeah. He's one who he'll absolutely relish conditions, won't he?
Yeah.
My concern is his 4 biggest RPRs by some considerable margin are all at Sandown. And that's my slight worry. I mean, like I said, he's only had 1 chance to really run here, so it might well be. And to be fair, he doesn't often get his conditions.
Yeah.
But that
that was
just in the back of my mind. Is he a Sandown horse?
He could just be a Sandown horse. He could be bang right. But he has won, you know, as a juvenile, very easily at Doncaster on soft ground, so he's got straight track winning form, hasn't he? So
actually, to be fair, it's weird, isn't it? His best RPRs are all at Sandown, and he's only won 2 races, both at Doncaster. So.
Yeah, both at Doncaster, straight track. You know, it's the fact that he's run really well at Sandown on fast ground suggests he probably does like that track. But yeah, I'm worried about the Ascot bit because it was terrible, and it was only 12 days later that he ran so well at Sandown. But I'll give him one more go, given how well handicapped he is.
All right. I think Hickory does have a great chance, though. He just absolutely relishes these conditions, doesn't he? But A bit surprised to see Two Tribes running here. I think he's a really, really good horse, but I don't think he liked conditions at Ayr, and he's definitely not going to like conditions tomorrow.
No, I couldn't have him on my mind. I think he's probably had his 6 days this season.
Sling him out for another run, isn't it, basically?
Yeah, true.
He's entitled to run for another big prize, isn't he?
Yeah.
The top weight could go well. I know he's gone up a lot for that win in Ireland, but he went half impressive, come from a long way behind.
That's true.
Looked every inch a group horse, didn't he? So.
Well, he's got form tied in. Yeah. The other one that I thought was interesting is Carry the One, who again is. I mean, if he hasn't been, he's run twice. He's been beaten outside at Chester, beaten outside at Goodwood, but of course he has because he's a back end autumn soft ground horse.
Well, they're just building him up for the Balmoral was in the back of my mind.
Yeah,
a couple of weeks.
You're probably right. He was sixth in this last year, but I think that's probably the angle, isn't it? So he'll run an eye catching. Race here because you don't want to be out the back of the telly if you want to go for that. You want to see him staying on.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
I mean, you can win both if you're well enough handicap, but I'd prefer him for that. I think.
Big headwind, Ascot, and a tailwind at Newmarket to make things more tricky, says Aidan. Native Warrior looks hard to oppose, but with a short price, I'll double him up with the weekend banker Darry's in the arc, JP Pigiano. Hickory and Miss Nightfall each way double, says Ben K. 88 Native Warrior the 92 favourite then over at Ascot. Before we move on to Sunday's action, just a reminder, any other business at either Ascot or Newmarket or Redcar from the 405 horses who are running?
Yeah, I'll give you one at Redcar in the Greaseborough Stakes,
yep.
The listed race. I really like Volterra, and I know he's favourite, but I've liked this horse for a while. I've got a sneaky theory that he might win this well and go on to run well in the QE2 in 2 weeks. He's about 100 to 1 for that. Do you remember last year he bolted up in the Challenge Cup last year, beating Kira easily in a red hot time? I think he's building up to something. Yeah. I could see him going well in that because I feel in that QE2, if it's really bad ground, who's to say what it's going to be? But Field of Gold might not show up.
Yeah.
Wait for Breeders' Cup. So then that race is blown wide open. And I'm pretty certain
that he is waiting for the Breeders' Cup.
You think?
Yeah. He's definitely not going to run in both. And he does have, he is entered in. I did the London Racing Club the other night.
Right.
Adrian Bowman of the IRB was on there. And he said it was very much likely to be.
Really?
To be that. So.
I mean, that's key information because he's trading about 9-4 for that. And the second favourite, Delacroix, I doubt he'll run. He's probably just going to get retired, isn't he, now?
It's certainly a strange...
So something is going to pop up in that race.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking Volterra could be a steamer tomorrow.
You're right. I think it could be a very different market. I mean, I really like... I thought he ran into a tough horse last time out.
Remus.
Yeah.
That's a good horse.
Yeah, that was a good race. Yeah. It was a good time. He went down fighting, but I didn't hold that him against it. I mean, he's comfortably the best horse in that race, isn't he? Like,
100%.
The Gisborough Stakes.
100%. Yeah, he was like 9-4 or something. So I thought that was bonkers. He's shorter now. He's probably not really backable now, I guess. But yeah, I'm looking at him as a project for 2 weeks' time because I'm looking for something in that QE2.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Yeah, like I said, I thought Cajole might run well in the first at Ascot. I thought she did too much at Sandown in that Atlanta, I thought.
Yeah.
In my head, I thought they might either better ground or back to the old weather, but I think 7 furlongs here at Ascot, ridden prominently, I think she'll have a big chance.
It's his sister to Persuasive as well, QE2 winner, Ascot form.
Ascot form indeed. Any other business on the chat elsewhere before we move on? I prefer Volterra against a run bunch of sprinters on Champions Day. To be fair, that's not a bad angle either, actually. The sprint's often won by a horse jumping back in trip.
Yeah, you've not got an entry for that. But I do like...
You can supplement.
That's true. Yeah. I do like that line of thought, though.
Yeah, that's not bad at all.
I like Sunfall in the opener at a price. Won the race last year. Thought it was a bit more eye-catching than the actual finishing position suggests at Doncaster last time.
Yeah.
A little bit to make up with Bright Thunder, but as that was only her second run of the year and first for 3 months. I think that'll go well. I think Silky Wilkie might run well in the last. I think he ran a lot better than his finishing position suggested in the Air Gold Cup. Yeah. And I am back in Skukuza in the pre-Daniel Wildenstein in France from Trap Uno on the rail with Ashim Murphy doing the steering. Last time he was on the rail on the right-handed track at a car, he absolutely bolted up. He's been a bit free going left-handed on his last two starts, even though he was unlucky in the strength at York.
All right, okay, fair enough. Skakuza's currently around about a 7 or 8 to 1 shot in that pre-Daniel Wildens team, which is quite the odd bunch of horses, isn't it? It's quite the.
Well, it's funny. You want a low draw on the round course at Longchamp, obviously, and the four shortest priced horses are drawn in the four highest stalls.
All right,
and he's got track one.
Weirdly, I don't know if I fancy it, but one of the most interesting races of the weekend is the 250 at Longchamp on Saturday. It's that huge conditions race. It's 100 grand to the winner. Evanesco, Charlie Johnson was incredibly impressive at Salisbury last time out. Isaac Newton, I've been waiting for him to turn up, but he's turned up in this, which was a bit of a surprise. That River Card form's good. Inishmore, she's looked good. Cape Orator, I mean, I was looking at that fit. I think, again, I can't have a bet in there. And also, number six there, Sigal.
Friend of the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
He will tell you it's Seagull.
I know. Yeah, a lot of people in this place still call him Seagal. I'm like, I don't think it's that.
I think if he was working for the French Racing Post, it would be Seagal, exactly. Probably. By the way, Robbie, can we go back to the Sun Chariot and can you utter those immortal words one more time?
What immortal words?
Graphic, please.
The graphic.
Zero, yeah, Sam, run the graphic. As you can see, the yellow denotes Ladies of Spain arc of progression. The green, doesn't look green to my eyes, denotes blue Bolt's arc of progression. Yeah. And then the other two on the key, Cinderella Dream 400, are flattening out against two big improvers. Ladies of Spain might have been improving that bit more, though, for me. Thanks for running that, Sam. Appreciate it, my friend.
That's lovely. That's beautiful. And you did that all yourself on Microsoft Paint?
I created it on myself, mate. Yeah, I set up the graph. Well, I didn't really.
No.
I've got the data. I put it in a pretty table. I don't want to like lie to the graphics department.
No. Fair enough. Because who knows what they'll do to you next time out.
Exactly.
So, all right. Fair enough. Okay. Just quickly on the chat. Any other business? No. Okay. Lovely. Right. Let's go over to Sunday then and have a look at the Longchamp card. Starting off with the big one, the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe. Biggest race of the year anywhere, really, for most people. We talk about it for months and months and months, and we've got a lineup that befits the occasion. Mini Hawk is 7-2 after Oaks victories. Aventure is 9-2, bidding to go one better than last year. Sozi 9-1, also ran a blinder last year. Kalpana, cheap pieces on in a Group One, first time for Andrew Balding and Colin Keane. Darius, who are one of our friends on the chat, just says it's going to run a big race. Has been improving and just got done in a trial here last time out, and we'll surely come on for that. Qualificar, who was beat behind one of the Japanese raiders on his penultimate start, but just got the better Obesity Roller last time out. Byzantine Dream, absolutely dotted up last time, but is drawn in 15. Aloe Alley, 14-1, was the one who beat Qualificar comfortably. Croydon Nord is 14s, Gazora 16s, Quizana is 16s, Giovaletto 20s, Lefar 25s, with Los Angeles 28s, White Birch 33s, Hot as Hell 66-1 is the not the outsider. The outsider is Arrow Eagle for Jean-Claude Rouget and Iritz Mendizabal at 100-1. And a strange obviously doesn't go. See you at Ascot, probably. But let's go through them then, shall we? Mini Hawk. Mr. Paul Keeley, we at York thought that she not would be vulnerable necessarily, but I don't think we were expecting that performance. And before then, yeah, I thought she's good, but we don't know how good she is.
Yeah, no, I was really impressed with her, but the ground was very fast, and she clearly loved it. Yeah. And here's the issue: I have received while we were here a message from somebody. Forwarded from somebody in France, said fairly slammed it down today and it ain't stopping.
Right. Was that in French, was it?
Yeah. That's
an in the know exclusive,
that's,
right?
It is, that's what it said. So it seems to have, I have the feeling we might end up with the news that they've got a lot more rain than they were expecting, and that was not going to suit.
They did say after
the Yorkshire Oaks, at some point they were talking about who was going to run in it, and they said if it was soft ground, Mini Hawk wouldn't run and Whirl would.
Yeah.
So
that's concerning you.
So that would concern me, yeah, because she wants fast ground.
Yeah, and also if it gets chewed up on that inside as well, in box one, possible concern, or would it be making it?
Well, I don't know. It's always a low draw is always, is pretty much always preferred
Yeah.
And they've always raced on the Saturday before it, so I mean, it's not going to bother me too much.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. What about Avonshore or Sozi? Two 4 year olds in the same ownership, Robbie?
Couldn't really have Avonshore at those odds. I thought, yeah, I mean, a trial win was good, but to me, it wasn't as good as By Santine Dreams in the Foy. Much better time. And it's just he's just been stitched up by the draw. I was very interested in having a nice bet on Byzantine Dream, but he's out in 15. That's got to put you off, hasn't it? So I'm having to...
I mean, it has got to put you off. It is a bit of a shame because, like I said, the way he stormed home last time out... Mm. I mean, the thing is, if you do like that form, then Sozi at 91 has got a cracking chance.
Yeah, you've got that. Well, Sozi, what's still Sozi?
2-1-3.
3, yeah, fine. I get it. That's probably... where I'd potentially be looking. I'm probably going to sit it out after Byzantine Dream coming out of that sort of draw, to be honest. But it's the arc, isn't it? You've got to try and find something else.
Yeah. I quite like Sozi. I mean, he was putting up good numbers as a three-year-old, but again, he was a three-year-old. He's bigger, he's stronger, he's better this year. Even that defeat last time out was better than what he was doing last year. He's got the perfect pitch. I just think he's got a nice profile. He's not over-raced either. He was racing during the summer. He had a little bit of a break, and he's got that second last time out.
He's got a right chance. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Sozi's challenging for favouritism.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, he went a favourite. He went a favourite last year. He's got a good draw. He's trained by Andre Farb, and yeah, he's been in good form this year, hasn't he? And he likes soft ground. And there's a lot. He's got, you know, only two horses in the joining double figures finishing the top nine last year.
Yeah,
like, you know what I mean. It's hard from a double-figure draw. He's got another perfect berth, and you know, so if the locals be latching on to one of them, they might not like the draw for Aventure because they'll know the stats as well as anybody else. So they could jump on that one.
What else have we got? I mean, again, I still can't work Kalpana out. I mean, the problem is she seems to go off either sort of 6-4, or I mean, some people who keep smashing at short prices. We'll point to the fact that she never runs a bad race, that she's that you know, fillies and mares of this profile have a really good record in this race, that people were writing blue stocking off last year and look what she did. The cheap pieces do put me off though, Keels. I mean, we've both of this regularly, but at the top level, it is just an admission.
Yeah. Well, why, you know, try something new at this stage?
Yeah.
Like, you know, on the biggest day of the horse life, it might not work at all.
Yeah. You think it's desperation from that?
You know what I mean? We know that she can run really well without them.
Yeah.
Well, we don't actually know that she can run really well with them, do we? You know what I mean? It's just, it's a strange one. I mean, she absolutely hacked up on bottomless ground in the at Champions Day last year at Ascot, didn't she? So she's not going to have any issue with conditions. But I would, you know, even if she's not fit, she's got to be beating Gia Bellotto to be winning an arc, I think.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That, you know, I just don't think, I don't know what it was, and I just don't think she was right that day. Can't be.
I don't think it was.
I mean, I liked
it. Wasn't
it.
A
I
vintage,
liked Gia Bellotto, but.
It wasn't a. I thought Murphy sort of bullied Colin Keane a little bit on Gia Bellotto. I don't know. And she was her first run since July. I wonder whether they were that bothered about getting beat, if you know what I mean.
I want to see a bit more.
I'd want her to see a bit more anyway. Yeah.
What about the French 3-year-olds, Qualificar and Darius then?
Like Darius. Don't like Qualificar, I don't think, really. Much prefer Darius. Thought he should have beaten Quadernor. Well, would have beaten him easily if he'd got a run earlier. And I couldn't understand why Quadernor was short all the time in the bet. And he's not now because he's drawn out in the car park and Darius has got stalled too. I think it's an absolute certainty to improve for a step up in trip as well. Obviously loves soft ground.
Yeah.
Rule out that run against Ombudsman at Sandown. Is it Sandown he ran at? Yeah. York, sorry.
Yeah. Oh, York, sorry. Yeah.
Job one.
Job one. Yeah, it was way too fast for him there. I think he's got an excellent chance. Qualificar got absolutely hammered by Alohi Aliyah. Earlier in the season.
It's hard to say, isn't it? I've struggled with that this year.
Yeah, and that's the other one I like. I think he's going to end up being, because of his draw and because of the fact the ground is soft, he's going to end up being the number one. The ground wasn't that soft, by the way, that day, but he was brought to France for softer ground, according to his trainer.
Yeah.
And
you know, they must have seen something in him after he got absolutely murdered in the Japanese guineas to suddenly decide, right, we're going to come up with an arc plan. Mm-hmm. But he said the arc was the plan long before he'd run in that race at Dover. When he turned up at Dover, he might have, wasn't favourite or anything, but he absolutely bolted up. And I know he got an easy enough lead, but he was going away from them at the line anyway. He was just miles better than them. And you know, I don't see why Qualificar was going to turn it around.
All right, okay. Anything else
kind
we should
kind of like that angle? Yeah, I mean he's from Orfèvre. He's on the family of Orfèvre, who almost won that arc on heavy ground as well.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to probably be softer than it was in the Dornano. But I mean, of the Japanese three, probably the most interesting now with the way the draw's gone and the way the ground's looking.
Yeah.
That'd be. Well, I'll put my back in, but I get it. I'd like to see Japan win it from a sentimental perspective, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, it would be quite the story. And again, we've every year the challenge gets stronger. The campaign from a variety of trainers and gets stronger as well. So they're going to crack it eventually.
Of course they are. Yeah, I mean they're represented by three horses that have won three trials for the race.
Yeah,
like it will click eventually. It might not be this year, but it will come.
Yeah, although I do wonder whether some trainers are thinking of coming up winning trials. You know, that's what the trials are there for. The trials
exactly.
Are there.
It doesn't really matter. It's all about the big day.
It is all about the big day. On the chat then, let's have a look. My favourite boat, Los Angeles, ran on all right from that draw last year. Dooley's left legs, says Lou at Los Angeles, could surprise a few. Did well last year, but looks to have took a step back.
I think the Irish surprise horse will be White Birch.
Yeah,
Talk to me.
I like White Birch. He's just got some very good soft ground form, hasn't he? He just never gets it.
Yeah.
He's had a million problems, but I mean, he absolutely thrashed August Road in once last year, didn't he? Like, yep. You know, he's absolutely top class at his best. And he'll get soft ground for the first time in an absolute age. So.
And he ran all right last time, just given he'd had 5 months off.
Yeah. He's definitely got a chance. Hot as Hell's another one that half interests me. I was thinking of backing him at a massive price for the QET.
I have backed him for the QET.
See him running in the bloody arc over a mile and a half. But he has been staying on over a mile or two, and he wants a bog.
Yeah.
I mean, you see his action, he definitely wants a bog. I don't really see him staying a mile and a half, but it'll be interesting. It's one of those where I might have to have something silly amount on him on the PMU just in case. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but the thing is, he'll run his face off and finish seventh.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then he'll just save him for the QE2 in 2 weeks.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I don't
Please.
Know. But I think that one's that ship sailed a little
We're
bit.
Campaigning.
But Aventure on the Steel says James Day. Vincent goes for White Birch, Qualificar, and Aventure in that order. Mike Boyce says I'm on Kalpana, but unfortunately Oshin Murphy isn't. Derry's Kalpana reverse says Bradley. Darren Walker says ever since Derry's debut, been on him for 33-1 anti-post. For this race, that's a bet, Darren.
That's
when
you
see a good one and you think, right, I'm having that for the arc, that's for sure. Admittedly, we don't know how many other anti-post tickets you have for this race, so you never know. Tommy says I couldn't have Mini Hawk at all. It's all about Sozi's to lose, says Dooley's left legs. I do think Sozi's got an absolute blinder. A light horse, he is a bigger, stronger horse this year. I do, and it was a good run last year, and it might have been a no excuses run. Mm. But it's like, okay, fine, you've had your sighter, you know what conditions you're going to get, you've come back next year with the campaign.
Only worries, I think this is probably a better race than last year's.
Yeah, probably is. You're right. Well.
Are you right?
Yeah, I mean, you probably are right.
Probably, yeah. Oh, but we're not going to truly know, I suppose, until it's happened.
Well, see, yeah, you probably are right, but if you don't fancy Mini Hawk, we don't think Calvin Arnold's
good enough. Yeah, you can find reasons for getting some of the favoured ones beaten, can't you?
Yeah, that's what I mean. So, suddenly you look at it, you go, oh, it's a strong race, and you go, why, what do you fancy? And you go, not a lot, actually.
Nothing. Sozi for you then, Ross.
Yeah, I think Sozi for me. White Birch always finishes just out of the places these days, doesn't he, says Mike Boy. Can we have a combination tri-cast from everyone each?
Why not, Matt?
Yeah? What's the three for you, Kiels?
Yeah, Aloha, that Japanese thing. Darius and Sozi.
All right, okay.
Aloha, Alohi. Love the Japanese. Sozi and Byzantine Dream to run an absolute screamer from stall 15.
All right, okay. I'm going to go Qualificar, and I'm going to go Aloe.
It's difficult. What an odd name for a horse.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Well, but then I fancied Mini Hawk all for weeks and weeks and
yes,
weeks.
Yes, so I. But we've all got two of the same horses. All picked two of the same horses there.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
It's my Japanese bias is coming through there, though.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, possibly. All right, I'm just going for Sozi then. I'm just going for Sozi. You can have your Tricus. You can have your Tricus. It's fine. Mm-hmm. It's fine. All right. Okay. That's the arc previewed then. As for the others, Quisisana will win. Says Offworld. Thanks Offworld for throwing one in that we haven't gone through in depth. But we've got more Group One races to go through. Let's go back in time a little bit, shall we? To the Abbey. 5 furlongs the distance here. And Asfora is 9-2. Montail is 13-2. Rajevka 8-1. Frost at Dawn 8-1. She's Quality 9-1 with Night Raider 10-1. Afjan and Megira and bigger prices the rest. 12-1 JM Jungle. We've got First Instinct, Sky Majesty, Rumstar, Pontos, Ain't No Body, Washington Heights, and Jawar. We've got loads of horses in here with a chance. But cool, crikey, is this a draw race as well? Do you think?
Yeah, just a bit, mate. Just a bit. Don't want to be wide, is what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
So. Why have they moved it back to the start of the card as well? It used to be at the end of the day, didn't it, that race?
No, it's been early for they quite move a few it. Years. They move it. They moved the races around a lot, but it's been early quite a lot.
Like, losing my marbles. Anyway,
they've moved it about. It's in a different place almost every other year, I think.
Yeah.
It's like Sandown. You've got to cross. You've got to go under the tunnel and all the way over to the 5 furlong course. Try and find a position. Mm. Watch a Hungarian horse break out of the stalls and bolt.
It was 205 last year, but it was 425 in 2003.
This is what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Right, it doesn't matter what time it is anyway. There's always that dead space between the 150 and the arc, isn't there?
Yeah. Although, admittedly, the only time I've ever...
It's an Arab race, isn't there?
Yeah. I mean...
Which is fine, because they're...
It's fine.
Yeah, sponsoring... Fair play. Discussion. The only decent win I've ever had of the Abbey, I was stuck on a shuttle bus from the from the tube station to the track as total gallery one for Stanmore years and years ago, thinking, has anyone got any signal? We were absolutely packed in there. So they've moved it around so much, it's so hard to watch that basically I only have a back and winner when I can't watch the race.
Understood. Are you going to make yourself scarce this time?
Make myself scarce, yeah.
I've never even heard of that at all, so this must be way before my time.
It was quite a while, but yeah, it must be about, 15 years ago maybe, yeah.
Yeah, we digress.
So what do you like in this year's?
I like Monte.
Okay.
He's not exactly been... She, I apologise. Don't misgender horses on the show, mate.
Don't do that.
She has probably been a little bit shorter than I would like, based on what she's done, but... Get the impression that it's quite a good sprinter. She won a trial that Glass Slippers won on route to winning this a few years ago. Mm-hmm. She's very unexposed at 5 furlongs. This is only her fifth try at the trip, I believe. And it looks like she's improved for it. She was campaigning as a 7 furlong horse miler earlier in her career. And then she got chucked into the King's Stand. Mm-hmm. Ran a massive prize, ran quite a good race to be fair, but the ground was quicker than anything she'd ever experienced. Campaigned very lightly since then, turned up in the trial, beat Rijevka, who, you know, was third in the Commonwealth Cup.
Yeah.
That's pretty good form for me, and she's in stall one. You might want to be slightly higher than that, but I'd certainly rather put one in front of it, wouldn't you?
I mean, Rijevka's in 19.
Exactly, yeah. So those places are likely to be upheld, I would say. And I just want to be against Asfora on this, the kind of surface that we're expecting, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I never get Asfora right, obviously.
Nah.
I mean, I'm officially retired from the game after York, but again, not. I mean, she's got a nice box, hasn't she, Asfora, to be fair? And she was beat. Okay, but she just has a day and then disappears. And
well,
they've
said all along she doesn't want soft ground, and it wasn't actually soft when she ran at Goodwood, and then she still didn't run that well there. So if it's proper soft ground, I don't see how she wins. She's going to struggle. She apparently stays in Britain this year. She doesn't go home at all.
Okay.
So, a full season next year.
Right. Okay. Does she know what it's like? During the winter,
that'd be terrible, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Producer Bell will tell you that she'd rather be over there than here.
Yeah, exactly. That will be a proper shock to the system.
Yeah.
But anyway,
what do you like?
What do I like? Right. Well, I'd love to see She's Quality win a race finally.
I knew that was going to be the first name out of your mouth.
But the jockey either goes too fast or not fast enough. Like, you know what I mean? He's either, you know, looks like he's going to win and gets caught.
or being held up and then doesn't get there.
Yeah.
Now, so that drives me mad. She's got the right draw. I think she'd be fine on the ground. I can see Montaigne. That's because that one likes soft ground, isn't it? But, you know, the British and Irish, we are rubbish at sprints. And they've still won 9 of the last 10 Prix de la Base. So how rubbish are the French?
Fair.
so that worries me. And I come down at a bigger price. Sky Majesty thought she absolutely hated the ground at Haydock. Haydock quite disgustingly called it good ground when it was absolutely rock hard. Course record time in the sprint itself, and she hated it. She wants soft ground. 5 furlongs might be on the sharp side for her, but if it gets really deep, there won't be one that likes it as much as her.
Yeah. Okay. 15? Box 15?
I mean, we go on about it, but I think there's been 3 winners from double figures in the last 10 years, so it's not insurmountable. I don't think it's as bad as on the round track.
You basically, the main thing you need to do is you need to have the early pace to get yourself out of... into a decent position like Highfield Princess did a couple of years ago. So that's the thing. The draw is, I'm not going to say irrelevant, but it's the draw enables you to get a better position, obviously, on the track.
You can have that speed.
Well, Mab's cross came from stall 13 from midfield. Like, you know what I mean? So it is possible.
Another one that you've backed a couple of times this year, I do think Frost at Dawn is another one to...
She's a fast ground horse as well.
Yeah, Frosted by US Dirt Horse.
She's a fast ground. Yeah, I like her. I backed her at York, didn't I? But yeah, I think her chance has gone with the ground.
Yeah, fair enough. All right. And again, I think Magira's got the talent to win this. She's a quirky sort, but quirky but talented horses do win the Abbey. That's the kind
of... Well, I mean, end of the day, most of them have got the talent to win this because they've all got a similar ability, haven't they? All sort of listed group horses, with group 3 horses, haven't they?
Yeah, fair enough. For everyone else, Ben says, I remember back in Babs Crossing this a few years ago from a high draw. Darren Walker is on Sky Majesty as well. Mike Boy says, I'm on JM Jungle, but that bloody draw. And Tommy Daniels says, it's a perfect draw for Monte in box 1, which is your pick.
It's my selection.
All right. Lovely stuff. Right then, a couple more Group 1 races to go through on Sunday over at Longchamp. The Prix de l'Opera for the fillies and mares over 10 furlongs. A Group 1 where See the Fire is 5-2. Tamfana 4-1, January 11-2. We Might Take the Long Way 6-1, Barnavar returns, Nicarini 10s, 12-1, One Look, 14s and bigger the rest. This 10 furlong Group 1 is, we've got 12 runners lining up. However, front three of the betting, both four-year-olds, and normally, unless you're a very, very good horse like Tarn Hour a few years ago, an improving three-year-old does tend to come out on top here. But it would be sod's law after, you know, back in See the Fire regularly this year that she goes in here. But I don't know. I think she's a bit skinny.
Yeah.
In the betting, yeah.
I don't think this is a great race at all, and I think she's a proper Group One horse.
Yeah.
Against not many that are, to be honest.
Yeah. I think you're probably right.
What beats her, Ross?
I'll tell you.
Please. I'd love to hear it.
Barnavara.
Oh.
This is, I actually
improving.
Quite strongly fancy her.
Yeah.
Look, again, she's drawn in 4. Yeah. On paper, there's not that much obvious pace up against her. Killing Queen, potentially, but she's out in 12, and she did take a lead last time out and was beaten out of sight. Barnavara just kept, she got perfect fractions last time out, and she kept going and going and going. And I know One Look came from the clouds and may well have won that race if she'd been sat a little bit closer. The time before that, Barnavara did insane fractions, suicidal fractions, and was still in front a furlong from home, and was still coming back at the two in front of her. Shane Foley gets on really, really well with her. She'll relish this track, this trip. Ground should be fine, and I think she'll be on there in the speed. And I don't think many of them will. And how many times have we seen races like this where they all get in each other's way and a horse like her just keeps on galloping. She's the Lady of Spain of this race, so she's going forward at a rate of knots, I think. I thought she had a big chance.
I want to fancy Tamfana almost as much as you fancy Barnavara.
All right, okay.
Make the case.
Tell me why.
I love her. I thought she was a massive, massive eye-catcher first time out this season at Doncaster, and I had a good bet on her at Sandown next time. But two things went against her. One, the ground went very, very fast, and the trainer's form fell off a cliff. David Manuccio was having... no winners at all at that time, and And she wants soft ground, and she's just been left alone since then. And this has been the plan ever since, bring her back in the autumn for this race particularly. She was third. She's been third in a French Oaks. She's actually ran over a mile and a half behind Sozi. She wasn't beaten that far. Mm. So she'll get the trip fine. She's a proper Group 1 filly, I think, when the ground is on the soft side. She obviously won the Sun Chariot this time last year.
Yeah.
Easily as well. This is going to be her time of year. I think she's going to come out and show us how good she is.
Just to clarify, you said she got beat at Doncaster and you're back to at Sandown. You mean she was an eye catcher at Sandown and you're back to at Newcastle?
Oh, no, she's an eye catcher. Oh, God, yeah.
That's all right. Riddle. No, I'm just double checking because there are hundreds of horses
yeah,
on
yeah,
this
yeah,
weekend,
yeah.
So it's fine.
Yeah. Sorry.
We're all like that, Kills.
Yeah, he's just trying to get the.
She's a massive eye catcher at Sandown, yeah. Dancing Gemini had run at Doncaster before Sandown. That's what got me confused.
That's exactly what. No, it made sense to me. I was just double checking, yeah. Well, she's in three and Barnavara's in four, so I might have to have a save on yours as your track.
Yeah, we'll have to forecast then, shall we?
Barnavara through, I think. As for the other, we might take the long way, looks the one to me, says Ben. And Tommy says, plenty of dodge bots in this race, Barnavara, for me. Come on, Tommy. Right, 4:25 over at Longchamp. Then let's have a look at the foray, 7 furlongs the distance here for this Group 1. And we'll be interested to see if upgrading the race at York does anything for the chance of those horses in that race coming to the foray. But it is More Thunder who has gone through the ranks like a hot knife through butter, who is favourite here for the foray at 5-2. Zaragana 11-2, Sagier 6-1, Marinoa Charlie 7-1, Rochefort is 8-1, exactly 10s with Top Gear. Geography is 12-1, and we've also got Witness and Godspeed 10. Bob Tony, oh God, I'm going to have to back him again. Extra, King's Gamble, Zero Stress, which is not what's been happening with me back in 10 Bob Tony. Zoom Zoom and Devil's Point here, Keels.
This is quite a deep race, isn't it? I mean, More Thunder, I wouldn't back him at 11-4 from stall 1, and he's got stall 16.
Yeah.
you know what I mean? I mean,
if,
got,
it, was, if
know,
it was fast ground, he was well drawn.
Ability, but,
sure.
You know, in a bog from the car park, the widest draw, and he's 11-4. What a book
no,
he's doing.
You, look, my advice to you is never go to the bog in a car park. That's the great advice.
You'll be extremely disappointed to know that I've had to do that several times in my life.
That's not the answer I was hoping for. All right, More Thunder then. We're taking him on.
Yeah, you've got to take him on. I mean, it's a ludicrous price. I mean, I know he's a very, very talented horse, but he's got an awful lot against him. That ground, that draw. Much better horse who really likes soft ground and has a good draw. Marinoa Charlie.
Oh.
Got to have a right chance, isn't it? Trap 4. Same trainer as last year who won it with Ramatuel, another 3-year-old. He ran an absolute blinder on fast ground at York, didn't he?
Yep.
In the City of York.
Yep.
The new Group One has only beaten 3/4 of a length. His soft ground form is much better. He's got a lovely position near the rail. I think he'd take the world of beating. I think he should be favourite.
I think we all agree here because I mean he was part of an insane pace at York, wasn't he?
Exactly. Again, like the two horses just in front of them came from way further back.
Yeah.
And he's just so tough. Mm. Prominent racer, nice draw. What's not to like? It's like you two have read my the La Foray preview that I wrote at about 4:00.
We have.
Exactly what I was saying.
I specifically asked the subsets to send you my copy.
Send the copy.
Send your copy to me first because I don't want an awesome reading for me. So.
Clean copy, that, mate.
So, Marinoa Charlie, obviously, and I mean, again, it's not Jeff Oldroyd, but... you've got to admire the ambition Bon Thurabos is showing at the moment.
Showing this ambition from nowhere, it seems.
Well, I think
they're spending plenty of money, aren't they?
Well, a couple of years ago, they seemed kind of happy to be a sort of.
Well, I assume it was. Is it not an inheritance kind of thing? And they thought we're going to reinvest in the Thoroughbreds.
Sure.
Yeah, possibly.
Nice.
I'm just going to ask quickly, briefly. Producer Sam, you messaged me a couple of days ago and said, can you get a bet on with a certain bookie? And I said, only if I walk to a shop. And you said, never mind, I'll do it. What did you back? I was just about to ask you that. Okay, Marinoa Charlie, nighttime double. All right, so that's 4 votes for Marinoa Charlie.
I think we can convince Belle to have a bet on Marinoa Charlie as well, so that's 5.
She only backs 150-1 pacemakers who nearly win in Group 1 races, so we're going to have to find something else. As for the others who might have a little bit of a squeak, there are... I prefer to back sort of horses normally dropping back in trip who are proven over further. What do we make of Zaragana? Is she a dodge or is she going to just
using that extra stamina, is she not quite finding it over a mile, or will the mile back to seven in soft ground actually help her?
It's going to help her, but she ain't as tough as Marinara Charlie.
I don't think it's going to matter, because I don't think the three-year-old fillies are any good.
Nope, fair.
Yeah, what's Susanny done since? Nothing.
Yeah, you're right, yeah. January, exactly. January. They're all kind of...
They're rubbish. I mean, the big danger is if the draw isn't insurmountable, it's Sadger, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's the one. He smashed Lazat last time, didn't he?
Yeah, but even then, how good is Lazat all
Everyone's
that
like, oh, he's the best sprinter in Europe.
What, because he won at Ascot
and Lazat.
And nicked the race from Saturno Rev, who should have won.
He didn't do anything at Haydock either, did he?
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
But is that probably... So you think the actual best individual piece of form is Marino Charlie's at York?
Well...
It's not far off, is it?
Yeah. If I'm honest, I think a reproduction of either of his last two efforts puts him bang in the mix.
He's going to be out of trouble as well, isn't he?
That's the thing.
He's going to be out of trouble.
Each way bet to nothing, I hear.
Absolutely. But 33-110 Bob Tony. I'm going to have a nibble on him. I do think he's a really good horse. I mean, I don't know what Kieran Schumacher was doing last time out. I mean, that was a weird race, wasn't it, in the Park Stakes? But I've never thought, you know what this horse, what any horse needs is racing completely away from every single other runner on a straight track.
Yeah, watch that back earlier, thinking the same. Yeah, I can kind of see it, actually. I mean, his form also ties in with my Volterra shout from the John and Gaunt as well.
That's true.
I see it.
And he was second to the lot. He should have beat Top Gear at this track last year. So he's got proven form in the conditions. He's drawn in box five. He's 33-1 because of that run last time out. But he'd also missed two engagements for a variety of reasons. He hadn't run since May. He's got more of a chance having run at Doncaster, but he's a much bigger prize having run at Doncaster. So
you shouldn't pay that much, sort of give that much. What word am I looking for? Trainer quotes, right?
Yeah.
But I read in the weekend about Timbal Tony, Ed Walker saying he didn't seem particularly happy to me.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's just a trainer quote, isn't it? You take him on ball, but it's another part of the equation. But I get it with Timbal Tony.
Not as entertaining as some of Cyber Spencer Orr's trainer quotes in there.
Yeah, character. top man side. Yeah. Always sends a racing poster a hamper over Christmas.
Does he?
Fortnum and Masons, yeah. Top man.
Does he?
Yeah, I've had the last 2 years I've had Piccadilly paid for by Cyber Spencer Orr.
What a weird, weird sentence.
I was talking about it in the office yesterday.
All right, okay. Well, it's lovely to know that as a freelancer, I get none of that.
I'll save your job.
You're going to get accusations of people. It's not
someone who works from home. I get none of that as well.
You get none of that.
Well, come in more, fella.
They'll say, oh, Robbie's on the gravy train. It's not. It's a Piccadilly train. on the chat, what else have we got? Zaragana, much better draw than the Fav and over twice the prices. Tommy Daniels. Borat says, I like Marinoa Charlie. Zaragana just weak in the finish. And Zaragana will do a Ramatuel from last year, placing the coronation and win the foray on her next start. All right, okay, lovely stuff. I mean, again, we could do an entire hour on all the races we haven't talked about, really, elsewhere. But we're not going to do that. Let's have a Saturday and a Sunday nap after this ad. How's that sound?
Sounds pretty good to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, happy with that? All right, okay. Saturday and Sunday naps coming up after this. All right, okay. Big weekend ahead then. But let's have a best bet on Saturday and a best bet on Sunday from everyone on the panel. Starting off, I'm going to start over here with Mr. Paul Keeley. What do we got? What are we thinking?
Right, Prince of India in the Bengal, 3 o'clock at Ascot, and Tamfana in the Opera.
All right, there you go. Lovely stuff.
Lady of Spain. Run the graphics, Sam. Lady of Spain in the 2:40 at Newmarket on Saturday. And 4:25 Longchamp on Sunday, Marinoa Charlie in the pre-Lopra.
All right, yeah. I'm going to agree with you Sunday now. I'm going to go Marinoa Charlie as
Let's
well.
Let's go.
I think he's going to win a bit of a blinder.
LA.
And I'm going to... Saturday nap, I'm going to go Cajole in the opener for Gosling and Tyler. Tyler Hurd from Box 13. I think she's got a big chance. Thanks everyone for watching. Anyone on the chat? Barnabara is the nap for Aidan Kelly. To be fair, she'd be the next best for me as well. But anyway, look, it's going to be a big weekend of racing. There's loads of racing on as well. There's loads of possible bets and angles. So just take your time, take a breath, pick your battles, like you said. And Keel's good luck watching the racing from the back of the wedding.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Have a great weekend, everyone, and enjoy group races coming out of your ears.